fantasy football today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
Let's hit the waiver wire.
Let's go.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and T.
Well, the bye weeks are here. Only two teams this week, but still should make the waiver wire a little bit more interesting. Welcome to the show. We're talking about who to add, who to drop, and, of course, some rest of season rankings. And recapping last night's game, 77 points last night and 29 combined yards from Julio Jones and Brandon Cooks. It doesn't make any sense. But first, Heath, Dave, Jamie, how did you divvy up your TV watching last night?
I watched the debate between Tevin Coleman touchdowns. So it was Coleman score, watch the debate, Coleman score, watch the debate, Coleman score, watch the debate, Julio gets a target, go back an hour later, Julio gets another target. It was pretty good.
That was a good strategy there.
Yeah.
Heath, Dave?
I watched the start of the game. I watched most of the debate. I watched the end of the game.
I watched the start of the game, then I watched the debate, and then I watched the rest of the game this morning.
Oh, okay. That's clever. In the meantime, Dave and I both saw the Kobe Fleener touchdown at the same time, and we both tweeted at the same time. Dave tweeted, Kobe! And I tweeted, Fleener! And a lot of people tweeted, oh, you guys are adorable, and you're finishing each other's sentences.
But so, more importantly, He had 11 targets for 7 catches, 109 yards, and a touchdown. Is he back in the good graces of the fantasy universe, or is this just because Willie Snead didn't play?
People seem to be discounting it matchup, which is a valid point. Falcons have been terrible against tight ends, and no Snead. What do you guys think?
I don't think he's as good. I definitely don't think he's as bad as he was, so... I think he's certainly a startable caliber tight end moving forward. And if he held on to him at this point, he's got another good matchup this week. I would not go away from him.
I'm really conflicted because what happened last night was the argument for him that he's in this spectacular offense and they use their tight ends. And so it doesn't really matter if he's great or not. He didn't play a perfect game by any means last night. And when you look at when Drew Brees has targeted Cooks, Snead, Thomas, and Fleener, he's still been by far the worst when he's targeted Fleener, but that was definitely encouraging. And I agree, if you have him, I mean, if you didn't drop him, good for you.
What did Chris write last week? That if of the targets that he threw, that Brees threw to Fleener, 25% of them were catchable passes?
I did see that statistic.
Yeah.
I also have seen a lot of video cuts of Kobe Fleener targets, and I just wonder if the distinction of a catchable target is...
Yeah, I mean, that's always questionable. The one thing I think to buy into is going into the game,
right?
There was a lot of talk of he's getting comfortable, you know, the whole understanding the offense and knowing where to go, and maybe he just needed this confidence boost.
There was one really funny time that I just happened to flip back over. And there was a target on a deep ball to Brandon Cooks.
He and Cooks were in the same spot.
And Fleener was running right next to him. Yeah. And Cooks kind of looks at him like, what are you doing here?
Yeah. But I don't know.
I think he's getting better.
I don't know who he was throwing to, though, Brees.
No.
Because Cooks ran the wrong way also.
Cooks did not play well last night.
No.
It was bad.
But he also got tough cover. Trevon played a great game.
Now, yeah, the whole thing about the catchable targets and whatnot, and I just think it was kind of interesting what Sean McDonough and John Gruden were saying toward the end of the game. That Fleener it took him a little bit of time, as Jamie just alluded to get comfortable in the offense. He was going to a new team. I think they said, I don't remember this, maybe you guys do, he had an off-season knee injury.
Yeah, they kept talking about this the last couple of weeks. I don't remember him being hurt.
Yeah.
But it wasn't just last night, it was the first time I heard it. I read about that the last couple of weeks that, you know, he was hurt and didn't have time to work with them. And I was like, well, that's weird because it was never really reported. And maybe that had to do with the whole... depth chart thing, you know, that he wasn't practicing.
Hmm. Okay, well, look, we'll come back to the game, but let me ask you this. I'll start with you, Dave. Kobe Fleener, he's 85% owned, so he was dropped in some leagues. Hypothetically, would he be a bigger priority to you than Jordan Howard on the waiver wire this week?
It's a tough one to answer. It really depends on what I look like at tight end and what I look like at running back, to be honest with you. But let's just say I'm weak at both. I think I'd still take the running back first, knowing that I can stream tight ends.
I'm going after the running back for sure. And that's not anything against Fleener. It's just...
Right. It's position scarcity. Although tight end is starting to look that way too, guys. And that's like one of the selling points for Fleener is all of a sudden he has this big game. Well, maybe he can actually...
We just
turn this around after all.
I would love to see like more than two or three tight ends have two good games in a row. Because sure. We've seen a bunch of big games from tight ends, and then the next week they suck.
Yep. That's tight
end. Or they get hurt.
Yeah, or they get hurt.
Yeah.
Now, all right, so top three waiver wire priorities. Jordan Howard is pretty exciting with Jeremy Langford out 4 to 6 weeks and some nice matchups on the schedule during that stretch. I can look that up, and that would be
Detroit
at Indianapolis, Jacksonville at Green Bay, Minnesota, and a bye. All right, so not amazing matchups, but not bad. So and it doesn't matter. Howard, starting running back, going to get touches, you would think. Is he the number one? And then who are some other guys, couple other guys that you are targeting this week on waivers?
He's absolutely number one. And I think Terrell Pryor would be up there as a potential number two guy behind him, just because I think that he is going to be a regular part of this Cleveland offense. There, I don't know how soon Josh McCown's coming back, and until McCown does come back, Pryor's going to see playing time at quarterback. He's going to get some chances to run with the ball, and he's certainly going to catch passes. And I think that there's some excitement there, and I like that Hugh Jackson is at the helm of that offense. They're not going to win many games, but Terrell Pryor could put up a lot of stats. And I really liked what I saw from Dwayne Washington in Detroit. I really think that he's the running back potentially to have, certainly in a non-PPR league, but maybe even in a PPR. Theo Riddick just can't run the ball. He's a receiver playing running back. Mm.
Okay, Jamie, why don't we go to you? Who are some guys you're looking at on waivers this week?
Well, I think Dave just covered the top three, okay. Probably, maybe not for all of us, but probably for all of us. I'll go with a couple of guys that are a little bit higher ownership, but could very well be available in your league because they were dropped. I think if Jimmy Graham's out there, you go get him, maybe even over Fleener. John Brown was dropped quite a bit last week. If this concussion thing for Michael Floyd is serious, Brown's going to be a major thing again. And then the Washington one, I'm really, Dave mentioned him already, but he looks like a better running back than Theo Riddick. Riddick's still going to be involved in the passing game, but this whole experiment of giving Theo Riddick 7 to 10 carries a game isn't going to last very long if he continues to get 2 yards per carry.
Now, what about Orleans Darkwa? Jamie, would he register fairly high for you with Shane Vereen out for the year, or probably out for the year?
No, because if Jennings plays this week, then Darkwa's role is limited, so he's not close to the three guys Dave mentioned. The only other one I think is worth talking about is Michael Thomas. I mean, he played great last night, right. Saw 11 targets. He's owned in 63 or 64%. I forget what I have in the notes.
64.
So he's right on the cusp of what we talk about usually as a waiver wire guy. But clearly you see what his potential could be if Snead is out for, you know, we don't know how long Snead's going to be out. So I think he's right there with Pryor. As a matter of fact, I struggled with it in terms of who's the best person to put. Now, obviously, Pryor has more room to grow in terms of ownership percentage and has more of an opportunity if Snead is back. But really, it's the two running backs in Chicago and Detroit and Pryor, unless, of course, you know, you're seeing guys like Heath mentioned and Fleener as well, you know, available to you on waivers. And those guys certainly factor into the mix.
One other guy I didn't mention that I didn't – has really been pretty good so far this year is Jamison Crowder.
He's been great.
He's low-owned, but they're not going to have very much success running the ball, I don't think.
That was one of my favorite calls last week. I had him in as a sleeper and starts it. And just, you know, I mean, there's a track record of now three games, but the first two games for the Giants of the middle of their defense is not very good. And so, you know, you saw it with Witten and Beasley in week one. You saw it with Snead in week two. And
the middle of Cleveland's defense is not very good.
Crowder is, I have it here. He's leads Washington in targets, catches, and receiving touchdowns. You know, so
those are important categories.
You know, now part of that is DeSean Jackson got hurt in week two. So his numbers are slightly behind Crowder, but, and I also think this is a big reason why Jordan Reed is not playing as well or getting as much production because Crowder is taking some of that away.
What about stashes? You know, Deion Lewis is in the waiver wire column this week. You could go for a Philadelphia guy who's on bye. Carson Wentz is about 35% owned. Wendell Smallwood is 3% owned. We also haven't mentioned Cameron Brate. You know, 2 touchdowns last week and people need tight ends. So let's think long term here. I guess Brate doesn't really fit into that. But if you man, I love Kind Bars, but every time I eat them, they get stuck in my throat.
We got a new sponsor.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Peanut butter and dark chocolate. Why don't you guys talk about long-term stashes while I try not to cough up into the mic?
I'll tell you one guy that I keep feeling like I need to mention just because we saw it already with a 30-plus-year-old running back breakdown, and there's a talented backup behind them, is Bilal Powell. Because if Matt Forte does get hurt, Bilal Powell, as we saw at times throughout his career and even last year, you know, he could be very good, especially with the way Chan Gailey uses his running back. So Forte's still on pace for a ton of work. And if you could stash Powell, obviously along with, you know, the guys like Alfred Morris and the typical handcuffs that you're looking at, I think Powell is going to at some point play a role here this season.
Dave, cool. It's your turn. It's your guy. Say it.
Kenneth Dixon.
There it is.
It's got to be. Just the Baltimore run game continues to just absolutely suck. It's been three games, and they haven't used Buck Allen. Buck Allen has to be so terrible for them to keep making him inactive. Or he's hurt, and they're just not saying. But
they're also 3-0, so I don't know. You know, you want to mess with.
Listen, you got to be able to run the football
for whatever their roles are, they're not producing what we want to see. And you're right, their run game has been terrible. But for whatever they're doing, obviously the coaching staff is happy with it.
Yeah.
I almost wonder if when Dixon's healthy, they flip it. They make Allen active and then they sit the other two guys.
Maybe that's,
when do you expect him to play?
That's the problem.
Yeah, you don't know. I don't think it's going to be this week.
He hasn't even been practicing, right?
Right. He's been running sprints, I believe. So other than that, he hasn't been doing much. The Ravens still are not the worst rushing team in the NFL right now. That's funny.
Jack, the Vikings.
Vikings are the absolute worst. They're getting 51.
Dolphins have to be worse than too, right?
Miami's right behind Baltimore. Yeah. Ravens are averaging 82.3 rush yards per game, 3.3 yards per carry. The Vikings would take that in a heartbeat. They're at 2.1 yards per carry.
Where's Jacksonville?
Number two.
2.8 yards per carry.
Yeah, they've been bad.
Bears are third, but they're not running the ball as much as some of these other teams. Baltimore they need Kenneth Dixon back. I can't justify taking him over Jordan Howard or Dwayne Washington.
No, I have him third for a reason. Like, you know, right. Artis Payne is still very much available, and he's a starter.
But
Darkwell
Jonathan
could be a starter.
Stewart's going to come back.
But that's the thing is, like, if you need someone for this week, I get it. You're going to pick up somebody at least that has a pulse and you know,
who's active.
That has a chance for carries, like Darkwell and certainly Artis Payne. But I think if you're just looking at it from a bigger picture, if you can't get Howard, you can't get Washington, Dixon would be my third choice.
Okay, Kenneth Dixon. Everybody put him on your radar. And we got much more waiver wire coming up. We, of course, have to talk about last night's game. There was a lot of good TV on last night. Ghostbusters 2 was on last night. That was great. But more importantly, one of the greatest home runs, I think, in the history of baseball last night with D. Gordon. That was amazing. I hope everybody got a chance to see it. I was so mad at myself because I was flipping in between two different games. And I turned that game back on as he was rounding the bases. I missed the actual home run. Of course, I saw it on.
You hear what he said? He said he's never hit a ball that far.
I can believe it. I mean, it's unbelievable. First of all, he steps into the batter's box right-handed, and he's a lefty for Jose. And then he hits the home run, I think, two pitches later, and he's in tears rounding the bases. I don't know if you guys want to say anything about Jose Fernandez. I did yesterday on the Fantasy Baseball podcast, but what I wanted to tell people, because we're all South Floridians, right? I grew up there, spent most of my life there. Same with Jamie. Dave, Jamie, and Heath now live there. Dave's been there for a while. I think he was the third most popular athlete in South Florida in my lifetime behind Marino and Dwayne Wade. And it's just amazing because people don't care about the Marlins. Like, he was bigger than the Marlins, and they cared so much about Jose Fernandez, and they loved his story, especially the Cuban community. And I was so sad last night watching that. I didn't think I would be that emotional, but watching the tribute, I really was. I just wanted to say that. And for the people who, you know, don't know much about his impact in the community, it was legit. It was real. And I mean, my brother told me about the news, that morning, and he was really upset about it. He's not a Marlins fan, just a South Floridian. I think we all were. So I just wanted to say that. And
well said.
Yeah. Okay, let's get to the game. Atlanta 45 and New Orleans 32. Matt Ryan played through a thumb injury. He sustained it at some point during the game. Doesn't seem like a big deal.
They had him running, like, rushing plays. It made no sense.
Hit 23 rushing yards on 5 carries.
Yeah, well, one was on a scramble, but they were inside the 10, and they had a design run for him. And then I think it was either on their next drive or one of the closing drives. He had another run, and then he got sacked. And that's when he came up kind of holding his hand. So I just didn't make any sense. Their offense was playing so well, and their running game was doing just fine. Like, why are you being gimmicky? This doesn't make any sense.
Well, he got you 23 fantasy points, but now here comes the gauntlet. Heath, you've been the Matt Ryan guy this year, Carolina at Denver at Seattle in his next three games.
I think we get to wait one more week for the gauntlet to start. I'm not sure that Carolina's secondary, especially on the road, is enough to be scared of. You don't bench Matt Ryan this week. The gauntlet starts after this week.
I think you can't bench Matt Ryan this week. It's the combination of him playing well for your fantasy team, and there's kind of a quarterback deficit this week. I feel like there's not a lot of quarterbacks that you can look at and say,
well, it's because Carson Wentz is on a bye.
Must start, feel great about him. Right. It's Wentz who's on a bye. Although that's somebody that people are going to start stashing now. You wait and see. But Matt Ryan seems safe. And the fact that he's at home against Carolina and the Panthers' pass rush just hasn't quite been what we thought it would be in the secondary. Yeah, and their secondary hasn't been quite as dominant as it would seem to be.
They also haven't really been tested yet. This is going to be tough test.
Yeah. All right. Well, Devontae Freeman, Tevin Coleman, both of these guys had huge games and both looked really good. Freeman looked better, and Coleman scored three touchdowns, but all right, what do you think? I mean, this is a great split for fantasy owners. They've both been really good. What do you guys think going forward?
Start them both. I mean, especially with what we're dealing with bye weeks and injuries.
But look at the mat now. I mean, the matchups for them are bad. Carolina, Denver, Seattle in the next 3 weeks. Can you really trust them in those three games?
I'm starting them both against Carolina.
Yeah, I would like to avoid starting both if I could, I had both. You know,
yeah.
But I think if you're looking at it from the standpoint of Freeman, I think, is better than Howard and Washington still right now. You can make an argument that Coleman is, you know, somewhat touchdown dependent because the yardage hasn't exactly been fantastic. And this might be a week where he struggles to score. But, you know, just given the circumstances and what we're looking at right now, it's hard to, you know, not look at them as at least top 30 running backs and certainly having Coleman as a flex with, you know, the injuries and, again, not having Lacy and at least Ryan Matthews.
And I'm sorry. I know some of it was a lot of it was the Saints defense, but I spent a lot of the preseason poo-pooing Devontae Freeman in the second half of 2015. He was phenomenal last night.
Yeah. He looked like he didn't. But that was like the first game against the Saints. It wasn't to this degree. I mean, he had a career long 48-yard run. That was at the end of the game when they were, you know, winning easily. But that was one of the better performances that he's played in his career. Yeah.
Right. He averaged over 10 yards per carry. It was pretty incredible. He also had a 60-40 advantage in snaps. So maybe we can feel a lot better about Devontae Freeman at this point. And if Coleman had three touchdowns from 6 yards or closer, I figure that's going to be where he gets a lot of his production from because he doesn't have a great rushing average. It's always been below 4.0. It was that way last night, 12 for 42. And he's making way with
these part of that, though, was he was the goal line guy. You know, so he's getting some of those.
That's
you know,
fair. So, like, if he's getting those,
I thought actually in the first quarter he looked more explosive than Freeman did.
Is he a sell high? Would you try to sell high on Tevin Coleman?
You could try.
Yeah.
Because there's teams out there that'll try and they might pony up a lot for Tevin.
Again, look at the touchdowns and the yards. That should tell you what you need to know. Because if he's not scoring touchdowns, like if he gets stonewalled on those three carries,
right? He's
I do think
89 total yards.
He's better at going forward than Freeman is.
Yeah, that's always been the case.
But Freeman's much more elusive.
His straight line speed is amazing.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, how about the wide receivers? Any concerns about Julio Jones and Brandon Cooks going forward?
No.
Okay. Yeah, Brandon Cooks last year had one game with double-digit fantasy points in his first 7 games. That's in standard scoring leagues. And only one touchdown. He went crazy in his last 9 games, 6 games with double-digit fantasy points in standard leagues. And 3 100-yard games and 8 touchdowns.
With Breeze was hurt, though, remember?
When?
In the beginning of the season.
Well, Breeze only missed one game. Yeah, but he played hurt, you're saying?
Well, he was hurt, and then he came back probably sooner than he needed to.
Okay. Yeah, well, I'm just saying, Cooks should be fine. What about Mohamed Sanu? How droppable is Sanu? He's 69% owned.
You could drop him.
He's droppable.
And he left the game with a shoulder injury last night.
Yeah. Right. So he's had more injuries than touchdowns this year.
One good game, one bad game, one injured game. You know, so I think he's just too inconsistent. That was his situation in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
He was just never consistent.
And he wasn't great in the game that he scored in. If you go back and watch it, he had drops in the game.
He scored on busted covers, didn't he? Wide open.
Yes.
He
had a long play on busted coverage.
They made a point on the broadcast last night, which is valid when it comes to Julio, is that this is the most diverse receiving core that Matt Ryan's had. It may not be the best, but it's the most diverse. Like, they like using Hardy. They like using Sanu. They like throwing to their backs out of the backfield. They have, you know, trust in Jacob Tammy now. And so It's going to take away a little bit from Julio, but it's also going to hurt somebody like Sanu, who's not going to be a featured guy as the secondary option.
Yeah, now these are, by the way, the two top scoring quarterbacks in fantasy so far. Drew Brees, number one, Matt Ryan, number two. I think Matthew Stafford, number three. I got a lot of emails at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Going to sprinkle them into the show. It is Team Name Tuesday. I think we have a very strong batch of team names on this particular Team Name Tuesday. I'm looking forward to talking about that. We'll update you on some of the injuries. Russell Wilson, Thomas Rawls. We're going to see Arian Foster this week. And then, of course, we'll tackle the waiver wire. But I am really looking forward, guys, to my Blue Apron this week. Thai red curry and rice, five spice chicken with vermicelli. Did I pronounce that right? Had to be, right? Because I butchered gnocchi last week. But vermicelli, mushrooms, and baby fennel, and open-faced beef sandwiches with tomato, cucumber, and romaine salad. Just amazing stuff. Blue Apron is seafood, vegetarian dishes, obviously different types of meats and pastas, and we absolutely love it. And I want you to try it. So you can get three meals free on blueapron.com/FFT, blueapron.com/FFT. Go to blueapron.com/FFT right now. Get started. Get three free meals. That's a great deal. With Blue Apron, you're spending less than $10 per meal on amazing, fresh, healthy dinners. The seafood is sourced sustainably. The meat comes from responsibly raised animals, and you don't waste food. These are all just added bonuses. The bottom line, you're going to love the food. We're always satisfied, and we honestly can't wait to get our Blue Apron delivery every week, me and my fiance. So check out this week's menu. Get your first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/FFT. blueapron.com/FFT. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. Heath, I thought you were going to help me out with the pronunciation there. You're the cooking expert. Vermicelli? Sound right?
No, I'm not the cooking expert. I don't know where that came from.
Okay.
I pretty much only cook outdoors.
Oh. Yeah, aren't you like a barbecue guy?
Yes.
So you never do vermicelli on the grill?
I couldn't spell vermicelli. Mm-hmm. I couldn't pick it out of a lineup. I don't know what you're talking about.
I definitely get a lot of food that I don't know how to pronounce, which is a good thing because it's stuff I've never had before. And I'm learning how to pronounce things. Now, injuries, news, and notes. Russell Wilson? Wilson, is it? Wilson? Ha 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 ha! Expected to play at the Jets this week. But I'm guessing expected to be outside your top 12?
He's out of mine.
Yep.
All right. Thomas Rawls is going to be out a few weeks with a fibula injury.
So he's on track for, like, the hospital.
Well, it's just a bruise, right?
No, I heard it's a hairline fracture.
Oh, hairline fracture. That's right.
Yeah, I debated telling people to drop him. I just wonder if he's available on waivers, just given the running back situation, if people still pick him up and just see what happens.
Is he a guy you drop if you need the roster spot? Otherwise, you hang on to him?
He's in that category.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's Rawls and Chris the Michael.
I think until we get more information. You know, like if they say...
If it's a fracture, it's four to six weeks.
But is that definitive that's a fracture, or that's something you heard?
It's a report, I saw.
Right. So I think until it's... Like the way I understood, at least the way I interpreted was, okay, they have this game, he's off. Next week, they have their bye week. Let's see what happens coming after that and where he goes. So.
Yeah. Who would you rather have rest of season, Kristen Michael or Tevin Coleman?
Oh, Michael.
Michael.
Okay. Shane Vereen could miss the rest of the season, and Jeremy Langford, 4 to 6 weeks. Dallas offensive lineman Lael Collins on IR after toe surgery, so he could
Adam,
miss a big chunk. Yeah.
We should probably mention that Langford is someone who's probably a little more cuttable than Rawls.
He's in the column.
Okay.
Yeah. Drop him.
He's
like,
in the
like he's hot.
The Jets claimed Austin Seferian-Jenkins, looking for their first catch from a tight end this year. The 49ers right tackle Anthony Davis, he wasn't playing. He retired again, but we wish him the best. He's walking away. He's got another concussion, so hopefully he's cool. He's okay. Oakland released Marcel Reis. The Jets worked out CJ Spiller. I'm guessing that's non-news. And Jarvis Landry, shoulder injury. So do you expect Jarvis Landry on Thursday?
Yes.
Yes.
How about Chris Ivory this week? Knee and ankle injuries against the Colts.
Well, he's getting sliced up. I don't know if you can feel good starting Chris Ivory.
Yeah, it's probably a good tip to just leave him on the bench.
Michael Floyd is in the concussion protocol. He faces the Rams this week. We'll see what happens there. But as Heath mentioned, John Brown, if he's available, you might want to pick him up. Dez Bryant has a knee issue. He was able to play through it. So you expect Bryant this week at the 49ers?
Yep.
All right. Do you expect the following guys? Rashad Jennings, Monday night at Minnesota.
Not as of now,
but he does have the extra day to get ready.
And he said he could have played last week, but he's not really confident in his passing ability.
So what happens if he's out? It's going to be Darkwa and Perkins?
Rainey
or Rainey? Darkwa and Rainey. And Perkins will see more touches probably.
Okay, how about Delanie Walker?
Not yet.
Correct, not yet.
Sammy Watkins?
Not yet.
Nope.
Man, what a tragedy this has become.
Arian Foster?
Definitely no.
No.
Okay. Team Name Tuesday, guys. From Rusty. When the moon hits Eli, that's Amari.
Okay.
Okay.
And, see, you don't know this because when Nando used to
I don't even go there. I know
he used to always find ways like so he could sing or like break out his guitar.
I've never broken out my guitar. It's ridiculous.
And so like this is he's like sprinkled it in a little bit. Like he took a year off where he didn't really sing very much, and it's starting to come back out a little bit. And so like we've heard the that's Amari team name before, but he just has to bring it up.
Yeah, but he's had Eli in it too. This was a double. This was a 2-for-1.
Anything you could get to sing is
just wait till you hear the Ballad of Blue Apron.
And also Settlers of Catanzaro, which we have heard, but it's very funny. So thank you, Rusty. Good stuff. This is from William Craig Knott. Carne Asiata.
Okay,
it's good.
I see what he's going for.
Yeah, Rudes. Roads, Rhodes. Oh, that's a funny Twitter name. Good stuff. These are from his Spencer Ware teams. On my worst team, where's my points? And in my CBS league, touchdown where? That's good.
That's a good one.
That was a classic.
This is from Justin. He went to Jarek.
Okay. All right.
Not bad. Not bad. But this is this is from Blade. It's from Blade. We had a baby. It's a Boyd. Remember that one?
I laughed.
Yeah. And IDK, my BFF Hill. Another commercial reference.
So I was struggling through my FanDuel lineup on Sunday.
Which one?
All of them. and I played a lot of a certain rookie wide receiver that another analyst on the show has been very, very excited about this year. And he wasn't scoring any points, and he wasn't scoring any points. And this team name came to me. Tajay Jr.
Oh, I've seen that one. Are you kidding? We had that last week.
No.
Or two weeks ago.
I just came up with it.
No, you're a cheat. That's weak sauce right there.
I thought it was pretty good.
It is very good, but you know, it was in your brain because
I like how you won't mention Dave by name.
I'm not going to mention Dave by name until Tajay Sharp scores a touchdown.
Neither will I.
All right, a couple more here.
So
I went.
Good.
Yeah.
That's from Andrew from Niagara Falls. And this is from Matt. Diggs and Murtaugh.
No. Clever.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I was a good crop today. Good crop.
Not bad.
I don't know if
it is. Is it cool to change your team? Is it cool to change your team name in the middle of the season?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially if you're 0-3. You must change your team.
I like there's some leagues like where people
I like that rule. I'm gonna do that. I think I'm 0-3 in one of my leagues.
People change their team names every week.
So can we please go through these emails and tweets a little bit quickly here? That way we can get to the waiver wire. But I just got some interesting emails and tweets. I want to know what you think. From Brian, would you trade Ezekiel Elliott for Todd Gurley in a standard scoring league?
See, that's the move you've got to try to make if you've got Gurley.
Yeah, I would not trade Zeke.
Yeah, you're keeping Zeke. He's been consistent this year, believe it or not. 10-plus fantasy points each of his first three games. You know that's not the case for Gurley.
Stupid. But is the best of Gurley still to come?
Yes.
There's definitely a lot of good Gurley coming, but I think there's a lot of good Elliott coming too, even with the offensive line.
Well, you have, I mean, the thing you have to factor in, you have the offensive line not as good as what we thought it was
going
to be.
And it's banged up now.
And he's losing goal line work.
Yeah, it's true.
A rookie that's never taken on this much work before.
This is kind of on subject. I did several of these yesterday. I asked, who would you want rest of season? 1,100 votes. 57% said Gurley, 43% said Melvin Gordon.
That's
a lot closer than I thought it would be.
Yeah.
Well, look, it was a really tough schedule for Gurley to start the season. I again think this week's going to be tough, but it gets easier. But this is from Mervin. Where's Mervin from, Dave?
Pensacola, Florida.
Should I start Jordan Howard against Detroit or Todd Gurley at Arizona?
I'd go Gurley.
Yeah.
This is from Jake from Queens. Would you trade Matthew Stafford for Kristen Michael? I already have Breeze.
Quickly.
Yes.
Yes.
This is from Deepesh. Where's he from?
Australia.
I send DeAndre Hopkins and CJ Anderson. Give up Hopkins and Anderson. Get Allen Robinson and Todd Gurley. Would you rather have Hopkins and Anderson or Robinson and Gurley? Grade that trade.
Hopkins and Anderson by far.
Agreed.
I'm not sure. CJ Anderson has not been great.
You're pumping the brakes on CJ Anderson.
I, well, I that's probably easier for me because I was the guy that was lower on him. So it's easier for me to not get as excited. But he hasn't been great the last couple of weeks.
He hasn't. It's valid.
And this isn't a great week for him this week, I don't think. Tampa Bay's pretty tough against the run.
Yeah.
Just ask Todd Gurley. CJ Anderson was pretty good in week two, by the way. He had 14 fantasy points.
He scored.
It was really just last week where.
Right, but he had like 20 carries for 74 yards against the Colts, right?
Yeah. That's fine.
Well, I think until last week, teams were just running.
Right.
You know, so Trevor Siemian.
Maybe that changed it. Yeah.
Maybe loosens things up a little bit.
Okay.
I think as long as CJ Anderson's healthy, he's going to be a superstar.
All right, here's Michael from Michael. Where's Michael from?
Michael is from Blaine, Minnesota.
Good morning, Donald, Hillary, and Lester. I was just offered, we know who those are. I was just offered Marvin Jones for Kelvin Benjamin in a PPR league. I planned to accept, but I thought I'd ask the experts first. So who would you rather have, Marvin Jones or Kelvin Benjamin, PPR?
I'd still rather have Benjamin.
That's really, really, really close.
Marvin's been great.
That's
Kelvin,
really close.
Kelvin for me.
Benjamin's been great too prior to last week. So it's like you know you're just who's got the best situation moving forward, and I still think it's Benjamin.
Yeah, I.
What was that? You had bad breakfast or something?
That's I don't want to make a decision on that trade.
I do want to give you props, Heath, because you were all over not starting Kelvin Benjamin this
no,
week.
No, I wasn't.
He ended up having he was catchless. Well, we talked about it on the Sunday
show.
Yes,
I was just
he was outside of your
lower.
Top 12.
Yes,
you had him ranked lower, and there was definitely debate following that. And I wonder if people are going to be scared off by a catchless game against Minnesota. I can't help but think he'll bounce back in a big way.
The best thing I saw about that was that Minnesota just put so much pressure that Benjamin didn't have time to get open because it does take him a little longer than it does most elite wide receivers.
Right, and I'm sure you guys talked about this on Monday's podcast, but Cam and Carson Palmer were under a lot of duress this weekend. And it completely affected their play.
We definitely talked about Cam. Stuff. Yeah, eight sacks there. We did not mention that with Palmer. But.
Yeah, Palmer was under serious duress.
How do you solve that? You face the Falcons on a short week.
Mm.
Love it. Love it. Okay, let's go to the quarterbacks here to pick up. Priority list for this week with Aaron Rodgers and Carson Wentz on a bye. Russell Wilson with a dicey matchup and some injuries. Joe Flacco, he has Oakland. You know, Mariota didn't get it done, but other quarterbacks have against Oakland. Dak Prescott, he is at San Francisco. He has a rushing touchdown in two straight games. And, you know, this is kind of relevant for Prescott and Cole Beasley, guys. The Cowboys have come pretty close to some passing touchdowns that just haven't come to fruition. And they actually lead the league in rushing touchdowns right now with 7. And there have been some pretty close, you know, short yardage ones. So it's certainly possible that Prescott could start throwing more touchdowns.
Oh, he's been very unlucky to only have one passing touchdown so far.
He's played better than that stat would suggest.
Right.
Carson Wentz is a stash. When he comes off the bye, he will face Detroit on the road, and if they're still banged up, then that's great. And then at Washington, so could be good in weeks 5 and 6. Brian Hoyer, deep leagues, 3% owned. You know, he actually wasn't that bad last year. I think he averaged about 18.5 fantasy points per game. Trevor Siemian.
Detroit's given up a lot of production to quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Trevor Siemian, 12% owned. He's at Tampa Bay. They've allowed the fourth most fantasy points to opposing quarterbacks. And then Atlanta, the next week, they've allowed the second most. So if you believe in Siemian, you'd like the matchups. Flacco, Prescott, Wentz, Hoyer, Siemian. Dave, your reaction to this list?
Flacco, if I need a quarterback, is the one I'm going after first.
For this week, you mean, or for long-term?
For this week. Rest of season, I like Wentz better. I've seen enough from him. Especially the game against Pittsburgh, just looks like he's been playing football for 5 years. You almost wish Joe Flacco played football like that sometimes because Flacco just hasn't been amazing. But Flacco would be my number two behind Wentz rest of season. Obviously, if you need a quarterback this week, you can't do it because Wentz doesn't have a game this week. And if you need a quarterback and you can't get Flacco, maybe you're in a deeper league. I like Hoyer against Detroit. I think this is a Bears win. I think they come out and I think Hoyer. Yeah, Adam, you referenced last year. He had a string of games last year where he was getting 20-plus fantasy points. This seems like a safe matchup for him. You just have to make sure that Ezekiel Ansah doesn't play for Detroit.
You also have to make sure that Cutler doesn't play.
That's a fair point, too. Yeah, if Cutler ends up playing. This is under the assumption that Jay Cutler.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's kind of why I have to hedge a little bit, you know, because if people are going to look for somebody. Mostly in two quarterbacks.
Okay, so it's not so bad though. If you, sorry to cut you off, but like if you go and you make Hoyer you know, your second or third run through waivers. You shouldn't do it with your first run through waivers. And he, Cutler ends up playing. Hopefully Trevor Siemian's there or Dak Prescott's there, mm-hmm. and you can pick them up and drop Hoyer.
Here's an interesting one. You have Blake Bortles as your second quarterback. Do you add Carson Wentz and drop Blake Bortles?
Yes.
I would have to consider who they're playing on my first quarterback's bye week.
Right.
Well, you're going week five. They're on a bye.
Right.
So
you, Jacksonville's on a bye.
Right. So if you don't need Bortles this week, you cut him and you pick up Wentz.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes sense. Believe it or not, it makes sense.
Okay. So some guys.
So Adam, let me ask you just while we're on Bortles.
Yeah.
How do you feel about your comfort level with our bet right now? Rivers has lost everybody around him, and Bortles stinks.
Not good. Yeah, Bortles. Look, Bortles has been so bad, and I can't defend it anymore. I think better things are to come for him, but their offensive line is obviously a huge issue. It's showing up in the running game. It's showing up in the passing game.
I wonder how much of their offensive line, though, is how long he takes to get rid of the ball.
Well, but look, they were missing their starting center and their starting left tackle for their game on Sunday, and, I mean, that's going to pay a toll on any team. So, no, I T.J. Yeldon isn't this bad. He's not 2 yards per carry bad. There's got to be a bigger issue here. And the real question is how is the team going to respond to the new head coach they have when they come off their bye in week six?
It's Doug Marrone, and it's going to be brutal.
That's absolutely happening. I am not feeling too comfortable about it, to answer your question. I dropped Jameis Winston instead of Blake Bortles in our podcast league, and I absolutely regret that. That was before last week. Tyrod Taylor, Ryan Fitzpatrick, and Alex Smith are on the drop list. You know, frame this, though, because we've seen great games. Well, you know, 2 weeks ago, Tyrod Taylor and Ryan Fitzpatrick both had great games. They're not automatic drops, are they?
Well, I mean, I think if you need somebody for this week, yes. If you're looking long-term and Wentz is available, yes. So,
right. If Taylor's my backup quarterback, I'm not really rushing to drop him because I still expect better things moving forward.
But
that's also counting on Sammy eventually being healthy. So.
Right. And then
so
when
would you
want to
carry two quarterbacks or speculate on Kenneth Dixon?
Oh, yeah. I just think some people are always going to carry two quarterbacks. Yeah. I'm not generally one of them.
Yeah, nine.
But
yeah.
If they are, I feel confident that Taylor's going to get it going at some point.
Yeah. And I'd have a few emails here about quarterbacks. This is from Rudy, and Rudy is from
Macomb, Mississippi.
I have Ryan Tannehill starting Thursday at Cincinnati. Should I drop Tannehill for Hoyer, Jacoby Brissett, Blaine Gabbert, or Sam Bradford?
I would drop for Bradford or probably just Bradford because we may not know on Thursday if Cutler's playing or not.
Hoyer, assuming Cutler's out.
Bradford's interesting because the Giants they're going to be missing two cornerbacks and a safety, most likely. And Kirk Cousins shredded.
Is that Apple and Rogers Cromartie not going to play?
It looks that way from what I read yesterday.
And Darian Thompson.
Yeah.
That does seem enticing. I just wonder if that Vikings offensive line can hold up.
They're bad.
You know what? It'll come down to who they have in pass protection to help them out, and then Bradford can drop bombs.
I wonder if as bad as that offensive line is and getting more banged up, if that means more Asiata in passing downs.
Right.
Because he's so good in pass protection.
Here's another email. This is from Juan, and Juan is from?
Juan is from Farmington, New Mexico.
So my only quarterback is on a bye week. Who should I stream this week? Flacco, Prescott, Tyrod Taylor, Sam Bradford, or Trevor Siemian? Flacco, Prescott, Tyrod, Bradford, or Siemian?
Flacco. I think we probably should talk at some point. Maybe it's tomorrow. The teams that are playing the second half of back-to-back road games and just how bad they've been.
Have they?
Yes. Awful. Look at the Jets last week, for example.
Mm.
And now Oakland, second half of back-to-back road games, going cross-country for the second time in as many weeks. They had to go to Tennessee, now to Baltimore for a 1 o'clock start. Look what happened to Arizona. It wasn't back-to-back road games for them, but the long road trip and how bad they looked just to start the game. And so you have a lot of teams doing it this week. Denver's doing it, going to Tampa Bay. But just specifically with Flacco, I think they were on the second half of a back-to-back road trip going to Jacksonville, and they looked awful. And so they get home now. They get to get the team that's got to travel with the road weariness. I think the Ravens offense shows up in a big way, and the Raiders could potentially struggle.
Cleveland, Detroit, the Rams, the Raiders, like you said, Jamie.
Look at San Francisco last week, too.
Yeah.
Same thing.
They're all on the road after being on the road last week. And then you've got the Saints going on the road after playing on Monday.
Yeah.
And they're flying from New Orleans to San Diego.
Think about what we've seen so far this year. Green Bay, terrible at Minnesota, week two. I'm just thinking about the ones that stand out.
Okay.
You
let's go through this tomorrow, guys.
Sure. Okay. Sorry. But it's a good exercise to look at.
That's a good teaser for tomorrow. Yeah.
Definitely agree. Flacco is the guy to start.
And yeah, you know that you're right, Dave. That trip for the Saints. I think their defense is going to struggle this week.
We're going to sit the Saints DST.
All right, the running backs, Lacy and Matthews and Sproles are on bye. Oh my, Thomas Rawls, Jennings, Mankford, Vereen, Ryan Matthews, they're hurt.
Wait, so, I thought Ryan Matthews was on a bye last week.
Yeah, well, he was after the first series, or first two. Jordan Howard is 32% owned. He is the prize of this week's free agency and waiver wire. Dwayne Washington, he's got Chicago this week, then Philadelphia, then the Rams. Kenneth Dixon, stash him. Cameron Artis Payne at Atlanta this week. Orleans Darkwa at Minnesota this week. Wendell Smallwood. They pronounced it Wendell Smallwood on the broadcast. I'm not sure if anybody knows for sure. And Kenyon Barner. They both had some success. They're on a bye, but if Matthews is out for a while, Smallwood would be your preference, guys, if Matthews is out?
Yeah, Mark Spolstens.
Okay. Kenyon Drake, Thursday night, 42% owned. We haven't talked about him. He's at Cincinnati on Thursday. Do you have any faith in Drake this week?
No, because Burfict's back, short week. They're still
sharing. Is he going to play or is he just back?
Oh, okay. Fair enough. Expected to be active.
Why wouldn't he play? They're mad.
I don't know if he's allowed to.
I think it was a three-game suspension.
It was a three-game suspension. Yeah. Okay. So
no, they activated him.
Okay.
They activated Bell and
then maybe
Burfict
he does play.
That defense is going to be a lot better now.
Yeah, and they're going to be angry and the Dolphins just haven't run
short
the ball
week
very
on
well.
The road.
It's going to be a blood.
If Drake would have gotten full workload last week, then there would be a lot more optimism about it. But they're still giving everybody touches.
Could they be headed toward the Atlanta Falcons model of just having a bunch of running backs and shuffling them in and out?
If they were headed toward the Atlanta Falcons model, then they would have much better running backs than their team.
Well, I'm just saying, I don't think they're going to have the Falcons success. I'm just saying they're going to
try.
It's more like the Baltimore Ravens model, right?
I guess.
I can't specifically think of any teams that I would have this luxury, but it's not easy to stash players who are definitely sits for you, but I don't think Drake is the worst stash. I think he's
it's funny.
Second half potential.
It's funny. Dave and I made a trade on Sunday, which I regret. And I was trying to be nice to him because he was stuck without a tight end, right?
Yeah. You traded me Tammy.
But I also gave you DeAndre Washington. You gave me Kenyon Drake. I would like to have Washington back and you would have Drake back.
Dwayne Washington, right?
No.
Yeah, it was DeAndre?
Dwayne Washington, I'm sorry. Yes. I gave you Dwayne Washington.
Oh, okay. I was going to say.
This is a 16-team league. And so he gave me Drake and Antonio Gates just because he needed a tight end. We needed a swap. And so I'd like to have that trade back right now. But, yeah.
Okay. And Darren Sproles, Matt Asiata, Deion Lewis. Sproles and Lewis are stashes. Lewis
Sproles, I mean, is fool's gold. You know,
I think so.
Like you'd rather have Smallwood.
Look what he did last week. That doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Regularly.
I think in PPR, I'd rather have Sproles. Because if Matthews comes back, Sproles still has a role. If Matthews comes back, Smallwood.
But his role is like, you know, you get the occasional 3-for-50 or 4-for-50.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So Cameron Artis Payne, right? This is obviously a much better matchup for him. At Atlanta, short week. We expected him to struggle against Minnesota. He got 12 carries and didn't do that badly. 12 carries, 47 yards, one catch for 11 yards. So is he actually somebody you might consider starting this week, Cameron Artis Payne?
As a flex.
Okay. On the drop list, Jeremy Langford, Justin Forsett, Adrian Peterson.
I can't believe he's 72% owned.
Yeah, it's weird.
Adrian Peterson?
Yeah.
Because people think he's going to come back.
But he's not going to be back in time for the fantasy season.
What do we
have a problem?
10% of leagues that have an IR spot?
Yeah, 72 is way too high.
Yeah.
Way too high.
Like I looked, because at first I was like, wow, Peterson's 72. Let me go see what Abdullah is. Abdullah's a 49.
Okay.
That to me makes sense. Like I would think Peterson should be at 49 and Abdullah should be in like the 30s.
Right.
Okay. How about the drop list? I said Langford, Forsett, Peterson, but the emails, sorry. FantasyFootball@CBSI.com. Some running back emails. This is from Jay Money. He's in a 10-team league. Should I go after Giovanni Bernard or Jordan Howard? It's a standard scoring league.
Bernard.
I might go Howard just because the schedule sets up for this to be a Jeremy Hill slate moving forward.
Yeah, but
and Gio is so catch dependent.
He's so unpredictable.
Yeah.
I mean, 2 weeks ago we thought it was a Jeremy Hill game and not a Gio Bernard game, didn't we? And
but when
Bernard
are you gonna feel
no, last
gonna
week.
Start him?
Well, last week we thought it was a Bernard week.
And that's annoying for fantasy.
2 weeks ago you thought it was a Jeremy Hill game?
I think 2 weeks. Who did they play 2 weeks ago?
No, they had a tough
Pittsburgh.
That was a night game.
And it ended up being Gio because they were playing from behind. And this week,
this should be
they
Jeremy
got off
Hill.
To a hot start, and Jeremy Hill was the reason why they got
pulled. He was good.
Be a monster.
Yeah, Hill is a top 12 running back this week. I'd go Howard. It's a 10-team league. So if Giovanni Bernard's on the waiver wire in this league, there's probably a lot of good running backs. Take the guy that's got a chance to be an every down rusher.
They just don't use, like, I know you're coming from Heath. They just don't use Gio enough.
They have not yet, no.
So I don't know if they ever. And the thought, at least the way I viewed it, was, okay, strip down receiving core, no Tyler Eifert, get him more involved. And that just hasn't happened. And now Eifert's going to come back any week now.
Okay, how about this from Josh Rose? Would you drop Randall Cobb for Jordan Howard?
If that's the only droppable player I have, then yes.
Yeah.
Scott in Seattle. Okay. He's got second waiver priority. Who would you target? Jimmy Graham, Terrell Pryor, or Jordan Howard?
I'd rank him in reverse order. Howard, Pryor, Graham. And that's assuming that Dwayne Washington isn't there to jump in front of Graham. There's probably a couple players that I'd put in front of Graham.
Hey, you know what I was actually going to say? I kept forgetting to say it, and this email or this tweet about Randall Cobb reminded me. This is not, you know, other than Jordan Howard, it might not be a gotta-have-him waiver wire kind of week. It might be a good idea to, look, put in a bid for Howard. You're not going to get him in most situations. Might not be a bad idea to see who gets dropped this week, especially with the Packers on bye. Maybe Randall Cobb does get dropped in some leagues. Save your waiver wire priority and take advantage of an 0-3 or a 1-2 owner that I'm not going to say is overreacting or panicking, but has to drop someone that they probably shouldn't drop. This might be a good week to look at who gets dropped and make an ad that could really help your team. Never a bad idea anyway. Wide receivers, Terrell Pryor, 26% owned. We talked about him at the top of the show. Michael Thomas is 64% owned. Cole Beasley is 34% owned. And Jamison Crowder is 12% owned. Jamie, that's your top four. Pryor, Michael Thomas, Cole Beasley, Jamison Crowder. Give me your thoughts on those four, and we'll talk about some more guys.
Well, I think Thomas certainly has a role moving forward with the Saints, but he's, you know, starter worthy, as we saw last night when Snead is out, and we don't know how long Snead is out. So I think just in terms of who could be better, I would not be surprised if Thomas is better than Pryor, just offense, situation, you know, those things. We're counting on Pryor to, you know, take snaps at quarterback consistently, and who knows what will happen, as Dave alluded to, when Josh McCown is back. But Thomas and Pryor to me are the first two guys. And then Beasley and Crowder, we talked about Crowder leading his team in targets, catches, and receiving touchdowns. Beasley leads his team in targets, catches, and receiving yards so far. So this has been Dak Prescott's go-to guy. And Dez, there's a report from Jerry Jones that says Dez is fine. He's not even going to have an MRI. So that's a good thing. But if Dez were to miss any time, I mean, it would be a lot of short area passes. You know, we're seeing Dak open the offense a little bit more. You know, they took more shots downfield last week against Chicago. I think that's something that comes just with a young quarterback getting more comfortable. But this guy has been a very good safety blanket, and they haven't really been throwing the ball to the running backs at all. So he's been that, you know, kind of short area guy in that space too.
I talked about Crowder earlier. I think I would put the only thing I would disagree with on that list is I'd put him ahead of Beasley, unless you're in an Adam Azer points for almost touchdown league.
But there's something to that. Like, he's getting all these targets that are so close to the end zone that he's right. Bound it. Like you said it yourself, that Prescott's been unlucky with the touchdowns.
He has been.
There's also more mouths to feed in Washington, so I wonder if there's some market correction coming with mostly Jordan Reed. You know, yeah. Doxson was inactive last week, and I think this is a game this week where they can actually run the ball, where I don't know.
You think so.
I and obviously Dallas is going to run the ball too, but you're just seeing it's really Dez and nothing else in this receiving core outside of Cole Beasley.
Okay.
But yeah, they're both good. They're almost identical players. You know, right. they're PPR guys.
Yeah, next four, Steve Smith, who is getting a pretty decent amount of targets, had 8 catches for 87 yards at Jacksonville, and now he faces Oakland. Chris Hogan, more of a stash, wait for Brady to come back. Adam Humphries and Kenny Stills. Humphries had a 100-yard game against the Rams on 12 targets, got 8 targets in week 2 for Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
It seems to be Vincent Jackson.
There's like 43% or 47% of people that still own Vincent Jackson and 1% own Adam Humphries. Clearly, you drop Vincent Jackson to pick up Adam Humphries if you're in that type of situation.
Humphries' numbers are trending up week by week. His targets have gone 5 to 8 to 12. His yardage, 34 to 67 to 100. He should be in the same type of conversation as Beasley and Crowder.
It's funny you mentioned that because I didn't do it this week, but the last 2 weeks in the column, I've done PPR guys just you know, as a separate category. And those were the three that I mentioned last week were Beasley, Crowder and Humphries. Now I think they're just worth adding because you're seeing more and more production from him and certainly the other two. And then Stills is interesting. He had more receiving yards than Parker last week, and I think more targets than Parker last week. And he still played more snaps than Parker the week before. So even though Parker is the better player and showing certainly more splash plays, Stills is still a factor. You know, 5 for 76 last week.
Yeah, you got your 9 fantasy points in week 2 and 7 last week.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, and that I think does it for wide receivers. We do have some questions. Also, the drop list. We talked about these guys yesterday, actually, all of them, except for Sanu. Hearns, Tate, Lockett, Sharp, Sanu. If Hearns, Tate, Lockett, Sharp, and Sanu, if any of them get dropped in your league, who are you going after? Who are you trying to pick up?
Probably Lockett. That was the one I struggled with, just because I think there's still more to come for him later this year.
Yeah, I do think that, I mean, he didn't do anything this week, but I don't think he was healthy.
Is he a second half player?
Didn't even play the same number of snaps.
No, but he had a big punt return.
Yeah, he did a return.
Yeah.
I don't think it was an injury situation. I think it's, the one thing about it is, you remember when he took off last year? It was when Jimmy Graham got hurt.
Right.
And now Jimmy Graham, big factor. You know, you just wonder, plus you have the quarterback hurt. So Lockett is someone, this is another bad trade I made. I've had some bad transactions the last few weeks. I made a trade earlier in the week. I talked to Adam about this. Like, I regretted accepting it, but it was like, I was, at the time it was, seemed like a no-brainer. I got offered Tyler Lockett for Jordan Howard in a 3-receiver PPR league.
Mm. Oh, you can't regret that.
Well, I do now.
So now I know, but that's not, I mean, that's just bad luck.
Yeah, but that was, I didn't want to make the trade at the time, but it was one of those, like, I can't turn this down.
Yeah.
But, you know, Langford injury makes it worse.
Hey, I'm trading. I'm putting Odell Beckham on the block today in the Fantasy Football Today PPR League. Make me some offers.
Is that the league you just traded for him on Sunday?
I did, yes.
Okay.
I had a master plan that did not work out. I lost by like 3 points to Nick. It's a PPR league. I didn't want to start 3 running backs, but my three of my best players were running backs. They were D'Angelo Williams, Ezekiel Elliott, and C.J. Anderson. So I made this trade of basically Elliott for Anderson. I also traded Marvin Jones, and Sterling Shepard was in the deal. So it was, I got Beckham and Shepard for Elliott and Marvin Jones.
Yeah, that trade blew up in your face.
Yeah, it didn't work out this week. But my whole plan was, all right, I'm going to start Beckham this week, and then I'm going to trade him for a running back because D'Angelo, whatever. So I'm trading Beckham. Let's make a deal. Okay, let's go to the tight ends. Actually, here's an email from Paris, from Washington. Ooh, 2 cities in one email. Standard 10-team league. Recently, Delanie Walker and Thomas Rawls became available. Kobe Fleener and Terrell Pryor are also available. I want to pick up 2 guys. Who should I target? Delanie Walker, Thomas Rawls, Kobe Fleener, Terrell Pryor.
I almost think the 2 tight ends.
So I was
Walker,
about to
Walker's
say.
Walker's the most by far.
Yeah, definitely Walker.
If you pick up the 2 tight ends and they both start to take off, you've got trade bait in a 10-team league. Now, granted, you would have that if Thomas Rawls also took off, but we're weeks away from that happening. And as much as we love Terrell Pryor, I feel like he's a short-term fix rather than a long-term hero for fantasy.
Yeah.
I think it depends. If Pryor would be your 3rd receiver, then I would pick up Pryor and Walker. But if he's going to be your 4th or 5th, I'd probably go Walker and Fleener.
So the tight ends this week with Ertz and Cook on a bye, Walker, Gates, Cook himself, Jordan Cameron, Virgil Green, Vance McDonald banged up. Kyle Rudolph is number 1. He's got the Giants this week, and he is 48% owned.
I was surprised when I saw that.
Yeah, me too.
I thought it was going to be in the 60s. Like, yeah. I went and
he
looked.
He should be in the 80s.
Well, he should be, but I thought, you know, coming off the touchdown the week before, he had the, you know, decent game in week 1, and all the situation at tight end, I was like, oh, he's got to be. I actually thought he wasn't going to be, he was going to be owned too much to even make my column. And so I was like, 48, what?
Yeah, he's got at least 8 targets per game.
It's the second time
in his last 2, and he's had over 60 yards in 2 of his 3.
Second time in his career, he's had a 3-game stretch of at least 8 targets, and second time in his career where he scored touchdowns in consecutive games.
And we mentioned Sam Bradford loves leaning on the tight end. You're seeing it play out.
Yeah, but listen, but some of what you just said, and look, I actually own Kyle Rudolph in a few leagues because I was the Ertz owner in a few leagues, and he was one of the guys I picked up. So I've been very happy with it, and I get the Bradford thing, and I definitely think he should be added. But what you just said about Kyle Rudolph kind of worries me a little bit because he's never been able to consistently put it together. He's been kind of a boomer bust tight end and mostly bust. You know, is he going to be more consistent this year, or is this going to be a guy you pick up and you get tammied or pitted like you did in week 3?
Well, I think, you know, there's 2 things that you look at. 1, North Turner's always been a tight end guy, and I don't know if they had the offense with Peterson and how he was running to necessarily use all of his receiving weapons like he probably would like to. And you see the first game without Peterson, 10 targets. That's, I think it might be a career high for him, in targets. So you get the good stat line coming off of the game where the running back gets hurt. And look at the rest of this receiving core, and there's a 3-game sample size now of consistent production, consistent usage. So to Dave's point about Bradford, which he's been talking about for a couple weeks now, this is a guy that over his career, and certainly we saw it materialize last year in Philadelphia, that he leans on that spot because I don't think he likes to take a lot of chances and probably doesn't know how to still at this point go through his whole progressions. At least, you know, maybe that speaks to some of his struggles. So if he sees Diggs isn't open, doesn't trust Charles Johnson or, you know, Treadwell or whoever else is on the field, there's that big guy sitting there right in the middle.
He's got a career high of 11 targets. He's done it twice, but not since 2013.
I don't think it's a bad matchup this week either with the Giants.
It's really not, no. Yeah. And again, just tight end is such a mess right now. You want to get somebody that's got some stability to them. I think you can trust Kyle Rudolph.
Heath, why don't you rank these three guys, Kyle Rudolph, Jimmy Graham, and Cameron Brate?
Jimmy Graham, Kyle Rudolph, and Zach Miller.
Miller over Brate for you?
Yeah, I think so. And like, it will really be helpful. If Brian Hoyer could stay the quarterback for a couple more weeks, because he was actively targeting Miller. I believe Miller ran more pass routes than any other tight end in week three.
He looked great.
He did. He looked really good. So, I mean, he's got a pretty good matchup this week against Detroit. Fantastic matchup next week against the Colts. And then the other guy that I put probably ahead of Brate was Hunter Henry. He looked really good. Like, yes. The fumble sucked. But
is that sustainable,
awesome,
though, when Gates is back? That's the problem.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, how soon is Gates coming back?
And who's going to be hurt for San Diego? Like, they're going to keep having injured bodies missing playing time. Henry's going to get more playing time.
And you were talking about a good 3-week stretch. Man, if we could just have Antonio Gates rest for a month and Hunter Henry could face the Colts, the Saints, and the Raiders.
Yeah, that'd be really awesome. Nice.
Yeah.
I feel like his next matchup, Denver, is not even that bad. They're not typically great against tight ends. I don't quite remember what they've done this year.
I think that's because the only person you can throw it to, because the other guys are covered by
right.
Elite corners.
It's exactly right. Some other guys, Jack Doyle, Ryan Griffin, Garrett Celek, Jason Morrow. I don't think they're going to be on the most added list, but.
Don't overlook Doyle. He's been very targeted. He's actually had better production in all three games than Dwayne Allen.
Okay. He's got the London game at Jacksonville. Then they're not even on a bye after that.
Yeah.
Well, they are. They got the Bears.
No. I think they're going to struggle in that game. This has never happened before.
Definitely could.
And the Colts wanted this.
Yeah.
Like, they had the option to.
They wanted their bye later in the year.
Right. So they're playing after London. I don't know what that's going to look like.
Wow. So first, Cleveland wins the coin toss in overtime and gives the ball to the Dolphins. And then this actually happened earlier. The Colts say, we don't want a bye after London.
They called Roger Goodell after the game last week and said, well, we just saw Cleveland lose the coin toss. We want to be even wackier.
And he was like, wackier than Cleveland? That's not possible. Guys to drop, Gates. Even if Gates is healthy, I don't really have big expectations for him this year, do you?
No, not anymore.
Yeah.
Look better before the season.
Gary Barnage and Jacob Tammy. George from California, would you drop Dwayne Allen for Kobe Fleener?
Yes.
Some DSTs to stream. The Redskins, they have Cleveland this week. The Jets, but they're not good. The Jets have the Seattle Seahawks. The Colts have the Jaguars in London.
The Colts!
Colts?
Yes. Heath's taking any DST that plays Blake Bortles.
So far, if you had started whatever DST played Blake Bortles, you would have the number 7 defense in standard scoring.
No kidding.
So, and it's not like they've been elite defenses.
It's a good point. They face, the Chargers? The Packers and the Ravens.
And it's not just the fact that Blake Bortles there. The offensive line's in terrible shape. The run game is affected by that.
Bad.
The pass protection.
Yeah, I mean, I think.
And you're going to see that with a lot of teams this year. The offensive line play is falling apart right now in the League of National Football.
And I don't dislike, I know that the Giants are without some corners. They're going to score some points. They will sack Sam Bradford a couple of times.
And the reason for the Redskins, Cleveland, second consecutive road game.
I do not like they don't really, like I said last week, they don't really do anything. They got a couple sacks last week, but
speaking of streaming defenses, do we know for sure who's playing quarterback for the Patriots this week?
No.
Like, do we have no idea at all?
No.
The Bills are still well below 50%, I think.
Would you trust anybody, though, against the Patriots right now?
Not in Foxborough.
I know what you're saying.
Brissett won't turn the ball over.
I know what you're saying.
I'm not sure Garoppolo will turn the ball over.
Bill's defense looked pretty good on Sunday.
They really did.
They did, but again,
this is what Rex Ryan does. He follows up big losses with big wins with awful losses. Like this is textbook Rex Ryan. They're going to lay a total egg in this game. Okay. Eh? That's what I have to say. That's all I have to say about that. Let's finish off with a DST question from Ian in Calgary. I'm looking to sell high on the Vikings DST. Where would Dave rank them in his trade chart?
Dave doesn't rank DSTs in the trade chart. I don't think people pony up for them unless they are creme de la creme DSTs. And as great as the Vikings have been, I can't see people giving up anything more than a bench player for them because they already have a DST of their own. No one's trying to pick them up. This isn't a special DST. Like only a handful of DSTs.
That's a special DST.
They play. Okay, you would trade a player off your bench? I would think
not a one for one, but I think if you're talking package deals, that's something you see if you could throw in if you know the team that you have is not as good as what the Vikings have shown.
I think like you're 100% right in our reality. But this might be one of those situations where we're looking at it from the types of leagues that we play in and not thinking about
snobby.
What's that?
Being snobby. Yeah, I would trade a DST.
I think people might do that, especially somebody that looks at a defense that's just been completely and totally dominant so far. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised at all if people last year traded for the Seahawks defense.
Oh, of course, the Broncos, sure.
Right.
Can we expect the Vikings DST to keep this up? They've got two games with 24-plus fantasy points in one of the leagues we're in.
I don't think you should trade for them. This guy wants to trade him high, though. If he can, yes, go try.
I mean, shop him around and see what you can get, and whatever you can get is pretty good. I mean, I'm looking at a league that we're in right now. The Eagles are out there. They've had at least 15 fantasy points in each of their games. Ravens have been double digits in their three games. There are defenses out there that you can just go find on the waiver wire.
Yeah, and I know the thing I was going to say, not only have they been dominant, they've done it against the Packers and the Panthers in the last 2 weeks and the Vikings. As I mentioned yesterday, I gave this stat. It still holds true after Monday night. Every position, quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end, number one and number two are separated by 4 fantasy points or less. The Vikings are 20 points better than the Kansas City Chiefs.
Just to give you an idea, I'm looking at our roster trends right now. 107 people traded the Broncos DST. I don't know. This is a 24-hour period. 87 people, the Cardinals. 83 people, the Seahawks. 78 really? People, the Vikings.
Wow. All right, that's it for today's show. Great stuff today, guys. Really appreciate it. Thank you all for listening. And we'll be back tomorrow with a fun one. We'll do some trade talk. I'm Adam Azer for Heath Cummings, Dave Richard, and Jamie Eisenberg. Dave, I can't do it today. I can't. I just gotta. That's it. All right. We're out. See you later.
Bye.
Bye.